Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brooke, Michael. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are more than we can imagine. And we thank you for life in Jesus. And as Brooke and Michael reminded us, real living comes when we know Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that as the church is gathered all morning long, we have the opportunity to talk about your grace, your mercy, your reign, your love. Lord, you are all things to us, and we're grateful for all that you do that we might have real life. So as we start into this new year, Lord, we ask that you would help us to truly celebrate life which comes in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here. Romans chapter 3 in your Bibles, if you'll find that place in your Bible. And we're honored to have you. If you're a guest and you came out in this cold weather, you are a special person. We want to get to know you. We want to say hello to you. I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you. Please come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. These days, we're talking about an issue that all of us can understand. We're talking about the mess that we've gotten ourselves in. All of us know that. All of us have experienced it. Well, I even had one of our deacons this morning telling me that he destroyed the side of his door on his tractor, and the hardest thing he had to do was he had to go in the house and tell his wife what kind of a mess he had made. So we all are in the middle of a mess. We all understand what it means to have messes in our life. We're using this opportunity to understand really the reality of all of our messes come from our sin. And we all have experienced sin in our life. But what is the answer? It's God's grace. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be celebrating, thinking about, reflecting on various places in the Bible where it talks about the grace of God. You need to know, I need to know, we need to be reminded in the midst of a hard, hard world we live in, the wonderful beauty of God's grace. So that's what we'll be thinking about, and I hope you'll come as often as you have the opportunity. So now, while you're comfortable, you need to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 3. We'll read three verses today from our Bibles, Romans 3, verse number 20. Paul says, because by the works of the law, we're talking about here the Ten Commandments, by the works of the law, in other words, obeying God's Ten Commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness. By the works of the law, no flesh will be, and this is the word for today, will be justified in God's sight. For through the law comes a knowledge that we have sinned. We can't measure up to the law of God. Then in verse 23, the conclusion, for all, every one of us, all human beings, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being, and here's the word again, justified as a gift, or your Bible may read as a free, as being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, we stand before you now. And the only thing that we have to count on is you justifying us. We cannot justify ourselves. We try. We try hard. Then we try to work our way toward doing good things to justify ourselves. But we always fall short. So, Lord, maybe the biggest thing for all of us today would be to say and to confess that we're in a mess and we need you. How I pray that these who are here today would hear the good news that God can justify them if they will believe by faith on Jesus, and that God justifies us by the wonderful gift of his grace. So help us to understand this truth and take it deeply to heart. It's the only reason why we can worship. It's the only reason why we can sing. It's the only reason why we can walk with hope today. It is because you justify us, God, when we believe on Jesus by your grace. So teach us today And may my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I start with a question today. Have you ever tried to justify your behavior when you've done something wrong? How many of you would say, now you're in church, Pastor Mike, I've done that. Raise your hand. All right, if you're not raising your hand, your neighbor knows you're telling a lie. It's true for all of us. We justify our behavior. I want you to take your Bible, keep your finger in Romans 3, and I want you to go back to the very beginning. Now, this is going to be a hard book to find. It's the book of Genesis. So if you can find Genesis and you have a Bible, Old and New Testament, I want you to go there. I want you to see that this matter of justifying ourselves is nothing new. We discover that Adam and Eve at the very beginning, when they sinned against God, when they did what God said for them not to do, here was the command, don't eat of this one tree. You can eat of all the other trees, but you cannot eat of this one tree. Lo and behold, they ate of the one tree. They sinned against God. We read in Genesis 3, verse number 8. They heard, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife, how sad this is to read, hid themselves from the presence of God. When I sin in my life, I hide. Do you know that? When you do something wrong, you hide. Hide from God, hide from others, we hide. So Adam and Eve are hiding from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called out to man and said, "Where are you?" Verse number 10. Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Verse 11. And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Verse 12. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me gave me of the tree and I ate." It's your fault, God, and it's my wife's fault that I have gotten into this trouble. Anybody ever heard that? Of course. Then, verse 13, the Lord God says to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The devil made me do it." That's what she says. "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So here we all have the same experience of our parents, Adam and Eve. We have this tendency in our lives when we have gotten ourselves in a mess to try to justify what we have done by blaming other people. Well, it's the church's fault. Well, it's my parents' fault. Well, it's my wife's fault, my husband's fault, my job, my boss. You can go on and on. So seeking to justify ourselves when we know that we have sinned is a very big deal. And this is why I want you to hear me first of all say, we cannot, the Bible teaches us, we cannot justify ourselves as righteous. We learned last week earlier in Romans 3, there's not one of us who seeks God naturally. There's not one of us who seeks to do good on our own. We all have turned aside. We've all turned astray. We all find ourselves in the same common issue. We have gotten ourselves into a sin mess, and we cannot get out of it. So, the first thing we understand is that we can't justify ourselves as righteous, but we always try to do good things to get out of it. That's why verse 20, which is here on the screen in your Bible, Romans 3:20, says, "For through the law, we don't work to get righteous, but through the law we realize what Romans 3:23 is saying. All have sinned. We've all missed the mark. Here was the mark. The mark was, don't commit idolatry. That's basically one of the Ten Commandments. Don't put anything before God. But we missed the mark. We have idolatry in our lives. We worship other things and other people more than we worship God. We read here, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. But we missed the mark. We fall short. We tell lies. We talk about people in an inappropriate way. We do what we ought not to do. We envy our neighbor and the things they have, and their husbands, their wives, their children. We envy, and so we fall short. We miss the mark. All have sinned. So we can't justify ourselves as righteous. Even though we try to do good, we'll try to work, we'll try to go to church, we'll try to read our Bible more, we'll try to do actions to justify ourselves, but you cannot justify yourself as righteous. This is what the Bible teaches us. And so we learn today a very important lesson. Justification, which means to be declared righteous. When God justifies us, He declares us righteous. Now, this is an unusual thing, because for most of us, we try to justify ourselves. Today, we're thinking about the fact that God justifies us. I don't justify myself as righteous. God justifies me as righteous. But what must I do? Well, let's learn about that for just a few minutes, and then we'll be finished. First of all, I want you to see God justifies those who believe on Jesus. Now, remember, I said it quickly, but did you miss it? When I know that I have sinned, I try to justify myself. Rather than me trying to justify myself, when I come to Jesus and believe on Him and I'm born again, the Bible says something radical takes place. God justifies me even though I am sinning. Now, folks, this is an unbelievable truth. This is a word that comes from the courtroom, justify. It is a word that means that you are declared righteous when you're unrighteous. How do you do that? Well, the righteousness of God, look at this verse, Romans 3:22. The righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. So we have several words we find over and over here. We see in verse 20 that no flesh is justified in God's sight by what they do or by trying to earn their way to God. We also have the word all showing up in these verses. Verse 22, all who believe in Jesus Christ experience a new righteousness. And in verse 24, we see it again. The all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, when they believe by faith on Jesus, they are justified freely by God's grace. So God justifies. I don't justify myself. I don't declare myself as a righteous person. I come and I believe on Jesus, the one who lived perfectly the righteousness of God. You see, God is always right. That's what it means to be righteous. God is always right. God always says what is right. God always does what is right. And when Jesus came into this world, He fulfilled the righteousness of God. He did perfectly what the law required. Jesus gave to us a new righteousness. And now, as a result, this is very important. This is how we understand we're born again. This is so critical. Let me say it another way. God justifies those who are still falling short in sin. Did you hear me? When you believe by faith, you see, this is the difference between works religion and believing by faith. Works religion says, well, you got to get good enough. Now, when you get good enough, when you've done enough and you've been good enough, then God's going to accept you. No, while you're in your sin, when you discover your sin and your need for Jesus and you believe that Jesus died for you and that He lives so that you could be a new person and you believe by faith in Him, you still have sin in your life. You still fall short, but you have come to Him and all of a sudden a radical transformation takes place. God justifies a sinful person. That is an unbelievable statement, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it means to be justified by God. Declared righteous, even though I still have unrighteousness and sin in my life. Look, there's nothing you can do to justify yourself. Now listen, and there's nothing you can do once you come to know Jesus to keep yourself justified. All of it came from God. Which leads me to the next thing. This is very important. It's in Romans 3:24, being justified as a free gift or freely by His grace. God justifies. Listen, God justifies because He's done us a big favor. Now, I've changed the word there on purpose. The word grace means favor. It means for somebody to do you a favor. God has done you and I who believe on Jesus an amazing favor. No longer does He count your sin against you, because we read in one more chapter or two in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, the pay for sin, the pay for my mess is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So God justifies by His grace. Grace, it's greater than our sin. David prayed in the Psalms over and over, be gracious to me. You've asked the same thing. You've asked the Lord to be gracious to you, to show you favor. You find yourself in a mess. You find yourself in trouble. You said things you shouldn't have said. You went some places you shouldn't have gone. And you did some things you shouldn't have done, or you thought some things you shouldn't have thought. You know that you shouldn't have. And you ask God to be gracious to you. For the same God who justifies us and declares us righteous, listen, helps us when we come to know Jesus. Now, we learn 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, Christian friend, when you fail God again, when you fall back into sin, when you're not living in holiness, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and all of your unrighteousness, there's that word again, for His name's sake. So, God justifies by His grace. Think about the life of Jesus over and over, all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the Gospels. Jesus would go to this place and heal this pitiful person who had no hope. Jesus would hear someone crying out, and He would stop and go over and talk with this person who cried out by faith, asking Jesus to do something for them. You see, their faith. The man was let down by his friends through the roof of the house, and he was paralyzed. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. You see, it's our response of coming to Jesus by faith. And this day, every one of you, the way out of your mess, the way out of my mess is by faith in Jesus Christ. And then you know what He does? I don't have to justify myself anymore. I don't have to make excuses for my sin. God justifies me by His grace. I never deserve to ever be justified. I know I have sinned. I know I've made a mess. But when I come to Jesus, I experience forgiveness and a new life. And you know where it comes from, church? From the grace of God, His favor. You see, you and I live now in this time of grace. I'm here, the preacher's here, standing here talking to you about grace. Not the judgment of God. Not keep the law and obey it. Hurry up, make yourself right. No, grace. God's grace. He waits for some of you who are still in your mess. In His grace, He wants to show favor to you. You know you've got a mess. You know you've got problems. But you won't. You won't come to the Lord and say, I've got a mess. Friend, you can't make yourself right. You can't get good enough for God. You must call out by faith and say, I believe on Jesus. I believe Jesus lived in such a way that I can be a new person, and He will justify you, being justified freely as a gift by His grace. We experience just what Jesus said over and over in the Gospels. Be healed. Be healed. Your faith has made you whole. One last thing. God justifies through Jesus' death on the cross. God would never justify without the death of Jesus. So being justified is a gift by His grace through, and here's this big word, some of the boys and girls in here, redemption. The word redemption is an old-time word. When Paul wrote these words to the church at Rome, they would have understood this word better than we. Now, the word has to do with slaves who are set free. They've been slaves, and they are set free by someone paying the price for their freedom. There's a price that had to be paid so that the slave could be set free. Jesus died on the cross paying the eternal price. He died so we don't have to die in our mess and our sin. The best way I can describe for you today as we close justification is by taking you to the cross. So how can I describe better for you what I've just said? Instead of me justifying myself before God, God justifies me when I put my faith in Jesus. Well, there were two criminals. They were criminals. Rome put them to death for a reason. You know, church tradition tries to tell us all kinds of things about them. We don't know whether all that is true or not, whether it's their names, their backgrounds, but here are two criminals on either side of Jesus on the cross. And on the cross, there Jesus is hanging, listening to the ridicule, the cursing, the mockery, the swearing, the self-smugness and righteousness, self-righteousness of the Pharisees and the religious leaders who thought they'd done God a good day's work putting Jesus on the cross. In all the yelling and all the confusion and all the screaming and the mockery, why, there's one criminal. He sounds a lot like the way some people pray to Jesus. He says, if you're who you say you are, well, why don't you get us out of this mess? That's what he was saying. If you're who you say you are, why don't you help us? Get us off this cross. Get us out of here. Be who you say you are. And he continued his own ridicule, his own cursing, his own rejection of Jesus. The other criminal. We don't understand all of the conversation, but we have a little of it. We have a little of the conversation. It ended with this criminal saying he was guilty. He was a guilty man. Whatever he had done, he had fallen short. He had sinned. And up to that moment, he was in his sin. He said to Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. I cannot give you a better example of justified grace than that right there. This man had no chance to change his life. He was about to die. And dying in his sin, listen, dying in his sin, condemned on a cross, a Roman cross, being ridiculed, condemned, he says to Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, today, you're with me. When you are justified, you move from your mess. And by the favor of God through Jesus, guess what? He says, now you're with me. Aren't you glad for the grace of God that justifies? Aren't you glad? I hope you are. Well, thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So what is it today that the Lord would say to you about your mess? I'm not talking about my mess. I'm not talking about your neighbor's mess. For some of us who are followers of Jesus, who are a part of this church, today some of us need to say, Lord, I'm back in a mess again, and I've done it. I have sinned. Kind of like the story Jesus told about the son who ran away, went out and disobeyed, did everything he could do to be as horrible as he could toward his family. And he got out there in the pigsty and realized, I've got to go back to my father and say, I have sinned. For some of us in this room, those are the words you need to say. I have sinned. I'm in a mess. And you've not come here today to cut a deal with God. You've come here today simply to confess, I am in a mess. Well, friend, when you do that, you are close. You are close, because all you must do then is say, I believe, Lord Jesus, that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and I need you. I believe on you as best I can with what I know. Change my life. And when we believe by faith on Jesus, to all who believe, the Bible says we are justified by God as righteous, and we start a new life. Well, in the last service, we had some who came and joined us. Are you here this morning and you've been praying for some time about being a part of this church? And it's time for you to do it. Well, there's a lot of us here today, but we invite you to come. This is what we do. It's our custom to stand and sing and invite people to publicly come and unite and join this church. So if you need to do that, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing. We want you to come. If you're here this morning and you need to know more about following God, what it means to know Jesus and to become born again, and what it means to be justified, you come take one of the pastors. We'll talk to you. We'll help you with that. Heavenly Father, help us today to make the decisions that you'd have us to make. Whether we come forward or whether we sit in our chair, speak to us now from the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing this wonderful song, He Knows My Name. As we sing, we invite you to come. Come on. If you're here and you need to come, come on.
I have a Maker. He formed my heart.
Anybody in the house?
Before even time began, my life was in His hand.
We know these words. Sing them from your heart. He knows my name.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I
wait one more verse. If no one comes, that'll be all.
I have a Father.
You need to come. Come on this morning. You're among friends.
He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go.
Sing it, church. He knows my name. Sing it from your heart.
He knows my name.
We have one. We want to introduce. Just remain standing. I hope that you'll be here tonight. If you can be back with us, just put on your Alaska gear and come on out. We'll see you here if you can make it back to church. All right, Tim, introduce us to this one who's coming.
Hey, all right.
Come on.
This is Miss Shirley Reed. She's coming to join us this morning. She's coming from First United Methodist Church. And she's coming to join us here at First Baptist Church. And if you rejoice with her decision and glad that she is here, would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Would you say? Yeah. Please do. We're honored to have you here. We've got some other old Methodists that have showed up around here. And we're honored that you're here with us. And come by and say a word on your way out. God bless you for being here today. You got to remember all their names now.
Okay, I will.
Okay, good. All right. God bless you. Steve's going to lead us, and then you come by.
We're going to say our benediction now. It's two slides, so don't leave after this first one. Let's say it together. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever He may send you. May He guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May He bring you home rejoicing at the wonders He has shown you. May He bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. God bless you.